Well, as we look around this morning, we notice that a lot of seats are empty that normally are filled, and we miss those people a lot when they're not here. We're glad that you can be here this morning, and I would like to invite you to open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm entitling the lesson this morning, Honoring God in Your Work. As we look at this section of the book of Ephesians, we see that Paul was speaking about relationships that we have, the important relationships in our lives. And as Christians, we bring our faith into these relationships, that it transforms these, and that we are able to have the opportunity to use the blessings of what it is to be a Christian in making these relationships strong and help successful, and how to have a good marriage and how to have a happy family. And we see that Paul then goes into this section of his writing, and he speaks here about the relationship of bondservants and masters. Now, we make an application of that today to our work with employers, employees, that type of relationship, that we go into work every day. And so we can make that as an application, but I want to make clear that in the original context here, Paul is speaking about the bondservants and masters in the relationship, the way that things were in their society at that time. That is what he was addressing and speaking of, how to have a good relationship if you were a slave with your master, or if you were the master, how to treat your slaves in the way that would be Christ-like. I'm sure that all of us can think back to times in our lives that we had a job that we didn't particularly enjoy. And I can think of several of those in my life. But as we see what Paul is teaching here in this passage, that in any relationship, any work that we do, we can see it as an opportunity that we have to see Christ in that work. And so you might say and think that in my job, how can that be possible? We always want to look at our job as a blessing and look at it. We're thankful for our work. And it's great to see some of the young people starting into working. And Abby is working at the theater right now. And we see Jeremy and his work with land surveying, able to maybe have teaching Rusty and Wallace some of those things. So as we grow up, we start being involved in our work. And eventually, hopefully, we find that these are my skills that God has given me. These are my God-given talents. And to find a way of work that you can use those talents and really be able to be serving Christ in our work and honoring Him and glorifying Him. That's what Paul is showing here. But many of the people that were slaves, and you might have a job today that you think, well, I just, you know, my job, it's just a job. I it's a way to make a living, but I really don't enjoy my work. Well, that's understandable. And we can find sometimes that your work situation maybe is not an ideal situation. But what Paul is saying is, no matter what type of work you're doing, we need to see that Christ, we are serving Christ, and that that is something that is important. And God views your work, our work, as being very important. He cares about our work. It's easy to be a Christian when we're here on Sunday morning because we're with other Christians and we are worshiping God and praising Him. But then on Monday morning, we're going into work and we are going to be around people. Many of them are not Christians. So it's really in that area of life that we have this opportunity to be using our faith and to making a difference, that when we're around other people at our work, that is where we really can glorify God. We can really show, here's what the way a Christian comes to work, and these are the ethics and these are the attitudes that a Christian have. Other people can be able to see that, and in that way, Christ is being glorified and He is being lifted up in a way that we don't get the opportunity really when we're here in our worship with other Christians. So this is not really the true test of being a Christian and living out your faith. It's when you're out there in your work. That's where we really can go out and make a difference in the way that we apply and live out what it is that we are being a Christian. As I said, in the first century, there was slavery. And it's good to understand a little bit about the slavery that existed there in the first century. Was a unique type. It was different than maybe what we think of slavery in our history here. And it was, we would all recognize the fact slavery is something that is not of God. It was not God's plan. It was not God's doing to have slavery. But at the time of the writing of Ephesians here in the first century, slavery was the social way of life throughout most of the Roman Empire. And it has been suggested that by historians say that maybe one third of the people of the city of Ephesus were slaves. Some estimate that 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. I don't know if that is accurate or not, but it was a high number of people were slaves. And slaves in the first century did all types of work. Some of them were very well educated. Some of them were better educated than their masters. And they did manual work. They did bookkeeping. They did the work that doctors would do within the household. They did all sorts of responsibilities that were given to them. And also, they had the opportunity, they could earn their freedom. They could earn their freedom. And many people who were slaves earned their freedom by the time they were 30 years old. There was what they could call manumission. And with that, a person would become a free man and also could become a Roman citizen. So there was a lot of incentives that in slavery. Now, we don't think of that in slavery the way we have known it in the past of our own country, for example, which was a terrible time. And but Paul is dealing with the context here of how slavery was going in those days when he was writing this letter. So what he has to say here, he is addressing to the slaves. Here's how God wants you to be as a slave. Here's the way you need to be obedient to your master. And then when he is talking to the masters, he talks them, here is how you need to be as a master, the way you treat your slaves. As a Christian, you need to conduct yourself in the way that Christ would have you And it raises the question, as we read here in the letter of the Ephesians, that what Paul is writing, does the Bible condone slavery? Because it is a little bit seems silent that the Apostle Paul, the way he approaches this here in the letter, that he doesn't come out and say, you know what, slavery is wrong. Slavery needs to be abolished. Apostle Paul, he doesn't address it that way in his writing here. And we think about it, one of the reasons why not is the fact that at the time, Christianity was a new thing and was fairly small in the Roman society. The purpose of the gospel was to be able to preach the gospel, to spread out the gospel of Christ into the world. And it wasn't to take on the issue of slavery at that time. But what the teaching of Paul does here, and it's very subtle, but it's very powerful, is that Paul, by what he teaches here, he was undermining slavery. He was already planting the seed that would lead to the removal of slavery. And it did have that effect. Christianity led to the abolishment of slavery in most of the ancient world. And it did so without making a direct attack upon slavery. What it did was to teach slaves to be good slaves, to respect their masters, to conduct themselves in a way like Christ would. And knowing that Christ is up there, he's the real master that we're serving. In everything that we're doing, we're serving Christ. We're serving him. And that ultimately, we're going to get the reward back from him someday. So, did the Bible condone slavery? No, that was the question. And the answer is no. The Bible does not condone slavery. He gives instructions here for how these relationships work within the context of the society where they were living at the time. But when we look into the Bible, there's many things in the Bible that show us that the Bible does not condone slavery. In the law of Moses, for example, in Exodus chapter 21 and verse 16, it said that he who kidnaps a man and sells him, or if he is found in his hand, shall surely be put to death. Now, what is that telling us? That is telling us that under the law of Moses, absolutely slavery was forbidden. You cannot have a slave, and you cannot go out and kidnap a person and turn around and sell that person. Anyone that was found doing that would be put to death in the nation of Israel. When we come over to the New Testament, and Paul, in writing to Timothy, notice what he says here in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10. And he was talking about the teaching of the Old Testament, that sometimes in teaching in the church in the first century, they would teach from the Old Testament, just like we still do today. But he said, now knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for kidnappers. And he goes on to talk about a number of other practices that the Bible makes clear are wrong, and God does not approve of these practices. We go on to see that there are many other things that are said in a subtle way in the New Testament. But when Paul is talking in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, he's talking about the fact that in Christ, these barriers have been removed. In Christ, all men are equal in Christ. And he says in Galatians 3 and verse 28, he says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. So it makes it clear from this that in Christ, there is no slavery. All men are equal, and that's how God created men. to be equal in Christ. Things that men have placed there have created things like slavery that have been horrible things. And yet, when Paul is writing to them at that time, he is telling them, you need to be a good, obedient slave to your master. And you need to respect your master. And you need to recognize that while you're serving your master, you are really serving Christ. And Christ will reward you. Christ is the one that will see the good work that you're doing, and He will reward you. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11 is another place. He said, "You have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all." And notice this other passage that I want to mention in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 21 and 22, where Paul is writing to the Corinthians here. And he is talking about the fact that when you become a Christian, you need to stay in that circumstance that you are at that time and not try to upset that or not try to revolt against it. You be a Christian and you accept that and you go and you conduct yourself in the way that Christ would teach you to. But he says here in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 21, he says, "Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave." So you see, he says that if you are a slave and the opportunity comes for you to become free, then take it. Take that opportunity. Become free. That's good. But at the same time, he reminds you that if you are free, then you still need to look at yourself. I am a slave to Jesus Christ. So it equalizes. It shows us that no matter who you are, you can serve Christ in that circumstance and glorify God. And you can bring many good things about by conducting yourself in the way that you should. God sees who you are. God knows what you're doing. And He is going to reward you for that. In Philemon, the book of Philemon is an interesting letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. And in this letter of Philemon, it deals with Onesimus, who was a slave. Onesimus escaped and he came to Rome. Paul was there in Rome at the time as a prisoner. And through the circumstances, Onesimus heard the gospel and met the Apostle Paul, and he became a Christian. So he then told him, encouraged him, to go back to his master, Philemon. And he wrote the letter to Philemon, and he encouraged him that when Onesimus returned, he should receive him not as a slave, but as a beloved brother. He would be a beloved brother in Christ at that time, now much more so to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So does the Bible condone slavery? No, it does not condone slavery. Why then does Paul not deal with it here in a more direct way? Well, because his purpose is to teach the Christians how to have in their relationships that they have here, how to conduct themselves in the right way. How did Christ change slavery? He changed slavery by teaching both slaves and masters to treat each other as they would Christ. That's how he did it. That's how Christianity overturned slavery throughout the world. Because as the gospel went all out and people understood Christ, how we have sinned against God and we need to turn our lives and submit to Christ, now Christ teaches us that slaves and masters treat each other as Christ
would,
as you would treat Christ. Now, you see that that raises the golden rule to a higher level. Because in the golden rule, Jesus teaches the fact that we should treat others as we would like to be treated. And we refer to that as the golden rule. It's found in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus taught that. But here he is teaching an even higher way, because he's saying, no, we should treat our masters as we would treat Christ himself. How would you treat Christ? That's how you need to treat your master. Same way. And then when he turns it around and he addresses masters, the amazing thing that Paul does here is very subtle, but he says, masters, in the same way, in the same way, you need to treat your slaves. Same way that he just got through teaching the slaves to treat their masters, he says, in the same way, masters, you are to be treating your slaves. And how was that? With respect. In the fear of God, in the fear of Christ, as unto Christ himself. Christianity changed slavery. It did it over time. It did it in a peaceful way throughout the society. As people became converted to Christ and learned how Christ teaches us to treat each other. No matter who we are, we need to treat each other with respect. And we need to always be thinking, how I'm going to treat this person, that's how I'm treating Jesus Christ himself. Remember, Jesus said that in Matthew 25 when he was talking about in the day of judgment, how Jesus is going to view how we have lived. And he talked about the fact that when Jesus comes, he will set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left hand. And he said, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was stranger and you took me in. They said, when did we do that, Lord? He said, as much as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. He applies that same thing in our work then. That when you go to work and you are with your boss or with the person that you're underneath their authority, you treat them the way you would treat Christ. But then when he turns it around and he addresses it to the one who is the supervisor, he says the same thing. You need to treat the same way your employees. You treat them with respect. That undermined and eventually led to the abolition of slavery throughout the Roman Empire and throughout most of the world. So it's a very, very powerful teaching here that the Apostle Paul has in the book of Ephesians. So he says, beginning in verse 5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same thing from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So when he is addressing slaves here, and we can take this and bring it over and say, you know, the principle of this applies to being an employee today. It's not the same. It's nowhere near the same thing. You may have a job that you don't particularly, you think, you know, my boss, I don't really care for my boss. But just remember one thing, you're not a slave. It is not anything like it was to be a slave. You're an employee. You have many benefits. So be thankful for that. We should all be thankful for our jobs that we have. Be thankful for it. Give God the praise that you have a good job. But he says, be obedient to your masters as to Christ. Then he says, not with eye service, as bondservants of Christ. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord. Whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. So he always comes back to Christ in every verse of this, as he is addressing the slave. He's saying, you know what? Everything you do, just view it as if you're serving Christ. And it's going to change the way you look at your work. So, first of all, he is saying we need to be respectful when we are at our work. Be obedient to your masters, those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. And so that would carry with it the idea that we have this respect of God and of Christ. Therefore, we apply that in when I'm dealing with the person that is my authority over me in my work. I apply that respectful out of the fear of Christ in that relationship with them. So be obedient to your masters as to Christ. He says, not with eye service, as men pleasers. That is referring to whenever we are at work and we only work hard when the boss is watching us. As soon as he goes in the back room, then we let up, we slack off. Now, some people do that, I understand. But he's saying that as a Christian, we should not do that. We should work the same way. Because who is watching us is Christ. We're bondservants of Christ. Therefore, we do our work whether the boss is watching or not. We do a good job. And he says, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord. So we do our work wholeheartedly and we work willingly. We have a cheerful attitude. Cheerful attitude in the work that we are doing because, once again, we're doing it unto the Lord. So we don't have a begrudging spirit. We don't come to work, you know, with this attitude that, I hate Monday morning. And then we get to Friday and we say, thank God it's Friday. We don't have to work anymore. Well, we understand that thinking that is very prevalent here. What Paul, though, is saying is we bring a good attitude. We're cheerful. We go to work. We render glad service. We're doing as to the Lord. Knowing, he says, that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. So no matter what type of work you're doing, when you're doing that work, just know that the Lord is going to be the one that will reward us. We will receive back that from the Lord. The ultimate reward, in other words, God doesn't miss anything. He watches, he sees the good work that you're doing. God is going to reward you for that because as a Christian, you're striving to serve him. You're striving to let your faith be seen, to be an honest, good worker, doing your job to the best of your ability. God sees that. And you conduct yourself as a Christian. You're loving, you're kind, you respect other people, you treat them in the way that God would have you to do. God sees all of that, so he is going to reward us for that. Now he addresses the servants and the master addresses the masters in verse 9. And this is where he says, and you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So first of all, he says, treat your slaves the same way that God teaches the slaves to treat you. And do it without threatening. This was a common practice, apparently, that masters would threaten their slaves. And they could take physical violence with their slaves. There was nothing to prevent it. But they would throw their authority around. They would threaten them. They would yell at them. Things of that nature. But as a Christian, he says, don't do that. Don't do without threatening. So Christian masters were definitely to be different. They were not to be bullies. They were not to be using aggression against their employers. Because he says, knowing this, that both their master and yours is in heaven. So these principles that Paul lays down here in the book of Ephesians transformed the way of the working world of that day. And the working world of the first century was slaves. Slaves and masters. Slaves did all the work. And they had no rights in that. They could easily be very resentful. They could be very angry and try to retaliate in some way. But Paul is teaching them as a Christian. You see, you have an opportunity to be a slave that honors God in the way you conduct yourself. So this should affect how we go to work, is what I'm saying. Work is not just work. It is a way that we serve Christ day in and day out. And you might say, you know what, my job stinks. I don't like my job. Maybe that's true, but you're not a slave. You're not being physically abused, physically threatened. And when you look at your boss, just think, you know what? He is Jesus Christ, as far as I'm concerned, in my life. That's how I'm going to treat him. I'm going to respect him. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to obey him. I'm going to be a good employee. So you work as Christ worked. And remember, when Christ came into the world, what did he say about himself? What did Jesus say? He said, I came to be a servant. I came to serve, not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. He humbled himself. He became a bondservant. He humbled himself even to dying on the cross. When Jesus was on earth, he worked himself. He was a carpenter. Some say maybe a stonemason is a more accurate, but nevertheless, Jesus grew up with his father, Joseph, and Joseph was a carpenter, and so he did that same type of work up until the time that he was 30 years old and he entered into his ministry. Whenever the New Testament was being written, it was teaching Christians then that in this area of your work and in this area of your life, we come in contact with non-Christians on a regular basis. And with the way that we approach our work, we can make a good impression upon them. And that's how we want it to be. We want it to be, God wants us to leave a good impression on the outsider. Not to be a turnoff to them, not to turn them off to Christianity. So that is why being a good worker is so important. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11, he said that you should aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. In our work, then, we have the opportunity to honor God on a daily basis. And God teaches us how important that is. So we should take our faith with us. We should apply that in our life. Learn to be confident of yourself as a Christian. Live your life that living it out on a daily basis in your work, the way you treat other people. God sees that, and He is going to reward us. So we're going to stand and sing the invitation song now at this time, number 29. And if there are those in the audience today that need to become a Christian, need to commit your life to Christ, to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ through the obedience of the gospel, we invite you to come at this time as we stand together and sing.
All to Jesus I surrender.